Welcome to the Chirping Birds podcast. The Eagles improve to 5-0, beating the Rams last Sunday, almost a week ago, 23-14. We'll briefly talk about that. With the Phillies playoffs, their recording schedule got a little thrown off, so we're recording Saturday morning or afternoon, depending on what time zone you're in. We'll preview the upcoming game against the Jets. It's actually kind of good that we delayed the recording because there's some injury updates, some news coming yesterday, Friday. Unfortunate for the Eagles defense, but we'll get into that. Before we get going here, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Eagles undefeated, Phillies advancing to the championship series. Kind of feels a little bit like last year, don't you think?
Yeah, LCS against the NL West second place team. The only difference, you know, it's not the first time they have home field, but they do have home field in the NLCS, which is very nice. It's interesting. The Diamondbacks playing very well. They obviously can rally. They've came back in both games against Milwaukee. The first game against the Dodgers was the total blowout. So they may have come back. Oh, no, I think they handled business against LA pretty well, but they've won in different ways is the point. They have two very good starting pitchers, but beyond that, not really sure. Corbin Carroll, probably rookie of the year. They do NL and AL for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So NL, rookie of the year, most likely. Oh, I'm thinking football. Football doesn't do AFC, NFC. That's what it is. They do AL, NL. No, like Mahomes was the MVP last year.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, there's only one MVP.
They do offense and defense, I think, but.
Yeah, I still don't know.
It's funny how outside of MVP, which even isn't that big of a deal, like NFL superlatives are like sort of not a big deal.
Quarterback.
Yeah, it's quarterback. I guess defensive player of the year is when there's an Eagle that's in the running, any of the superlatives are a big deal. But if there isn't, then nobody cares. And that's the truth. Well, we'll see how the Phillies do. I think they don't overlap because the NLCS is Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then Monday, Tuesday. That's the how it would play out. Of course, all those games if necessary. As of now, I know you're dying to know, I will not be attending a CS game in Arizona, but we will see. I do have a Southwest Airlines credit.
Did you explore?
I did explore a bit. Game 5 is a Saturday. Tickets are a little pricey, which I was kind of surprised. They're probably half or a third of the price of a Citizens Bank Park ticket, but still over $100. So, I mean, it's the LCS, so whatever. But NLCS, I should say. I mean, they're both LCS. It's a CS, whatever, however you want to say it. But still gonna keep an eye on. They were more on the Diamondbacks' actual website than I found on third party. So we'll see. But hopefully, we won't need a game 5.
Right.
So
on.
We'll see. All right, let's get into the Eagles. We are an Eagles podcast, but exciting for the Phillies. And hopefully, you know, unlike last season, there won't be an Eagles game during. I haven't looked at the World Series schedule, so I won't say that yet. Anyway, Cam Jurgens officially placed on injured reserve. That's sad for me, for my guys. He'll miss at least four games.
That was prior to the Rams game, I believe.
Right. Okay. So three
more
games.
Of a
administrative note.
Just like it was kind of expected, but now it's official.
Yeah.
So he'll be out the next three games at minimum. Sua Peta looked quite good in his first start as his replacement.
The 21-day practice window has been opened for N'Kobe Dean, obviously a my guy of mine. So you lose one, you gain one.
One enters.
likely
to be activated.
Likely,
probably
yeah.
Sometime today, and then.
And I think, you know, of it's not the top storyline of the defense, but would be something to watch between him and Morrow snaps, just given Morrow having all those sacks and all that success over the last couple of games. See how N'Kobe Dean slots in there. Bradley Roby officially signed to the active roster, as is Braden Mann.
Mm-hmm.
So we officially have a punter on the roster, on the big boy roster. And safety Justin Evans was placed on injured reserve, which he did play. Didn't he play against the Rams, or was that the previous mm-hmm. game? Yeah. So
yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, so that was a move they had to make for presumably activating Dean, because they were at the 53, and he was a guy they went with. So
yeah, and he's been in and out. Justin
Evans. He's been hobbled, unfortunately. Even prior to the Eagles, he's had quite an extensive injury bug, and doesn't seem to have left him now with the Eagles, which is unfortunate because safety depth is something the Eagles currently do not have much of.
Yeah. Let's briefly talk about the Rams game. The offense looked pretty well. It was the best passing day from start to finish of the season. I think that's a testament to the steady improvement. Obviously, they're not playing at the high caliber that they were last year for that middle stretch to through the playoffs, but they're definitely improving. Dallas Goedert was the focal point of the offense to start. That seemed like a concerted effort to get him the ball. He ended the day with 8 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Keep in mind, through 4 games, he had 88 yards total, so he well surpassed that. AJ Brown, 6 catches, 125 yards. So, you know, overall, Jalen was 25 for 38, 303 yards. He did have an interception. So, you know, the turnovers continue. I think that's 3 on the season, 3 or 4. And for about, I don't know, two hours maybe, there were some Cowboys fans saying like, Hurts has, you know, triple the interceptions as Dak, and then Dak threw more than or as many as Jalen threw all season in one game. So that was very short-lived. As far as the run game was not as strong, but they didn't dominate on the ground in the same way that they had in previous games, but it was sort of like a normal run game. I feel like the run game has been exceptional for weeks. So having like a normal run game, it's kind of felt like they weren't, you know, doing as well, but
Jalen Hurts returned to form. He hasn't
right.
really been a running quarterback this year. I think this was the first glimpse of him looking like the running portion of his skill looking like last year, which I think is, I mean, that's a really big development. There were conversations talking about, like, was this a strategic decision made by the coaching staff and the, like, top down, like, Jalen, we gave you this big contract, we know you have it, but we're going to, like, pull in the reins on that side? Or was this Jalen's decision, knowing that he's gotten beat up over the course of the regular season the past 2 years, and he's missed time, he's gotten banged up just in time for the playoffs? So, like, was it precaution, or was there something worse? Was there, like, an actual physical limitation that the team just wasn't announcing? Last week, it didn't look like it was any of those. It looked like it was a pretty, He looked like the dynamic quarterback that he is. And I think that's a big deal because I think that certainly impacts how defenses game plan for him. And for him to have that kind of secondary pitch to get out in space and run and get first downs when he needs them. He had a big third down run. Maybe it was it one or two?
Well, there was one big one. I think it was like third and six or something like that on a drive where they, you know, it's funny. The game was, I guess, not exactly a week, but pretty much a week ago. Some of the finer details you forget over the course of the week, but the one, I think the offense was stalling a bit. It was a sort of got to have it drive. That might have been the drive where they went up to, they ended up scoring to make it 24 or 23. It was 17. It was 23-14 or 24-14. Yeah, it was so long ago. I'm forgetting now. But anyway, he ran, made a guy miss, almost rolled his ankle, if you saw the replay, and still made it for the first down. And, you know, it didn't take too hard of a hit, but like was definitely hit. I think it's been coaching, like he's been coached to slide and not take big hits. Now that sort of, you know, there's been times where that isn't the, not necessarily the, it isn't the best, but it's not like against Washington, he went down with Forbes tackling him, and Forbes is like half his size. So he, mm-hmm. he definitely could have tried to, you know, get more out of that. But I think at this point in the season, it's the easier part of the schedule. They have, I think, the fifth hardest schedule remaining. Against those teams, that's probably what you'd like to see. But this third down conversion was a highlight running play from him at any point in the season, but especially at that point in the game. It was sort of a gotta have it, extended the drive, and, you know, took more time off the clock and continued to have success there. And he had a really good game, and that's two in a row that he's had, you know, that's why you pay him that much money type games. You know, he threw, he ran, they tush-pushed plenty of times for, you know, first downs. His touchdown was a tush-push. There was one where they didn't make two, actually, which was rare. One was a third down. I think it was third and two. They didn't get it, but then they did it on like fourth and one or something. Like they got a yard and then they got another mm-hmm. yard. And then the other one was an offside call, I think, or maybe that was the Washington game. All year, I think they didn't make two. And maybe I'm misremembering. I'm a little off this morning. Yeah, I guess
the Washington one was they converted.
This is what happens when our schedule gets off. Like I'm not warmed up. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about the defense. Jalen Carter and Hassan Reddick both had sacks again. Hassan Reddick had the two to end the game, pretty much. Very exciting back to back there. Jalen Carter, obviously, you know, in the lead for defensive rookie of the year for sure. They had
like approaching like Pro Bowl consideration.
Right. Yeah. He's probably an all pro his rookie year. The big story, I think, was how they managed Cooper Kupp. The first two drives, I believe, were tough. They, that short slant route was unstoppable. They had a number of different guys on Cooper Kupp, perplexing a bit. They had Morrow on him. They had, Eli Ricks. They
Correct.
had Mario Goodrich on him. A little perplexing. I get that they had, they had Slay on Nacua to start, I believe, and Bradberry on Tutu Atwell, and that kind of leaves you with this rotating cast for Cooper Kupp. But after they went down 14-10, they didn't give up any more points. I'm not sure what the half splits were for Cooper Kupp, but whatever adjustments Sean Desai made, they clearly worked, and they got Stafford and the Rams into more passing situations. You see the sacks, pile up towards the end of the game there where they had to have it. The big turning point, to go back to the offense briefly, was right before halftime. The Eagles give up the touchdown. They get the ball with 30 some seconds left and march down the field. There were obviously the two penalties on AJ Brown that put them at the goal line pretty much for them to push in, but that changed the game. They went up 17-14 at the half. The Rams had just scored a touchdown to go up 14-10, and they got the ball back at the half. So that was a big momentum swing. The Roby played well. You can see he got rewarded there to be signed to the active roster. And Jake Elliott was great again with no misses, and helped them keep adding points every drive. They're not scoring the touchdowns in the red zone. That's been the big issue this season, but especially against the Rams, getting down the field easily and then not being able to punch it in the end zone. So against the Jets, it's going to be a tougher task, but that's something to watch moving forward. Any other things you want to mention?
Yeah. The big one, I mean, they kept Aaron Donald in check. That's something they've had success with in the past. That's something Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line, that is the focal point of this Rams defense. And once again, they leave the game with Donald sackless. So mission accomplished. Sua Peta did a very good job for a backup right guard. It seemed like Jason Kelce, like his assignment for the day was like keep Aaron Donald out of trouble, and that's what they did. And the offensive line, I mean, they have, I know it kind of goes without saying, like, they are the best in the league, but this is a game where you can just silence an all-pro player, a guy who's still playing like the best in the league, to kind of scoot him out of a game-wrecking potential performance. You're not going to see, like, I think a lot of credit goes to the offensive line, and we always give them credit, but, like, this is a game where, like, they deserve that extra shout-out, because in the prior week, the Rams, I think they played the Colts, and Aaron Donald just like ruined their offense for the day. So kudos to Jason Stoutland and the rest of the offensive line, especially Sua. So and it's not going to be they're going to have another tough task this week, so it's a nice warm-up opportunity for what's coming tomorrow.
Let's move into the Jets game. The Jets come in at 2-3. They have a exciting overtime win week one against the Buffalo Bills. They just beat the Broncos, but had lost to Dallas 30-10, New England, who looks terrible.
They played the Eagles really tough.
They did. I think it was a week one. It was bad weather. It was Tom Brady night. Is at home, like, it was a little fluky. It's kind of like the Lions last year. I feel like they had a rough beginning, and you know, obviously tried to come back with the Eagles. They ended up finishing stronger. Good. Yeah.
And ever since, like, he's gotten pulled in, like, back-to-back games, and it's just like, man, you're making us look bad, Patriots. You played us like you're a freaking playoff team, and ever since you've really turtled, so don't appreciate that.
Yeah, so, you know, they're coming off a win against Denver. They, in their last, you know, three games have given up about, I think, on average, like 20-ish points. So the defense has been keeping opposing teams pretty tight, which I think keeps their offense in the game. You know, obviously Zach Wilson, not very good, but can have good games as we have seen. So I'm not, you know, I think with our D-line, even with the injuries, like they'll find ways to, you know, challenge him and make things difficult for him. They have a good running back group. This will be a big test for the run defense, and I feel like it's the biggest test probably all season.
The only thing there, I wouldn't say it's a good group. Dalvin Cook has not looked like the Dalvin Cook we're familiar with. I think we can officially say he's like washed. But on the other hand, Breece Hall, he has looked quite good so far this season, coming back from a significant injury. Does not seem to have him hampered at all. It looks like he's completely healthy. He's a running back that can certainly break a long touchdown run. I think he has like one run, like that's like 70 some yards already this year. So he's prone to take one to the house. And he's, you know, with Zach Wilson filling in for Aaron Rodgers, who obviously had a very unfortunate injury, like snaps into his tenure with the Jets. Zach Wilson, not a high quality quarterback, probably in consideration for like worst starter in the league. I don't think that's unfair. Now Zach Wilson, he did kind of have like a resurgent performance against the Chiefs 2 weeks ago. And I do think he helped show that this offense has some life last week against the Broncos. So he is like on the upward climb of maybe he's not that bad, but I still don't think he's a good quarterback. That certainly puts a very low ceiling on this offense, who has Garrett Wilson, who is one of the best young wide receivers in the league. You mentioned Breece Hall. He's kind of the engine for this team at the moment, considering they don't really hand the keys to Zach Wilson to like throw the ball deep and take shots. This is more of a, like, I would kind of like, I think the Commanders are a good comparison, where like they're not going to take so many deep shots, even though like Sam Howell had some. I would like think back to last year's Commanders team, where it's just kind of like they're gonna like, it's going to be a run pass if they have to. And so that's what I would be expecting if I was defensive coordinator. They're really going to lean on Breece Hall. They're going to pass if they need to on like third and medium, and expect them to go to Garrett Wilson on occasion. He's their best receiver. Alan Lazard, he's a dependable guy. Obviously, he was Aaron Rodgers' like pet receiver with the Packers. So as far as like playmakers, they don't really go deep, but Hall and Garrett Wilson are certainly talented, and those are the guys to keep an eye out for, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think if they can manage Garrett Wilson like they manage Cooper Kupp, they'll have success on the defensive side, passing at least. Their O-line, Elijah Vera Tucker, out.
Yeah, injured last week. That's a big one.
Their backup center guard, Joe Tippmann, is in there at right guard. Mekhi Becton, their former first round pick, who was out all last year, I believe, with an ACL or something like that, as their right tackle.
I believe he was drafted as a left tackle, and because of their like rotating cast of offensive linemen with injuries, they swung him to right tackle, and left tackle is Dwayne Brown.
Yeah, so their O-line's not very good.
No, it's something like, and what's interesting is Joe Douglas, obviously, he was, what was his official title with the Eagles, assistant GM?
Either that or like VP of football ops or something.
Yeah. So obviously high up in the Eagles front office, thinks very similarly with Howie Roseman in that they need to prioritize both sides of the ball and offensive and defensive line. And it's not like for a lack of trying, like he's tried to build up this offensive line and it just hasn't gone well. Obviously we mentioned the injury to Elijah Vera Tucker, Mekhi Becton, he's been injured early in his career, hasn't really delivered on where he was drafted. The middle of their offensive line is like decent, but I feel like the Eagles haven't gone up against a healthy offensive line all year.
Yeah.
So they continue to benefit just from kind of teams caught in a bad spot. So yeah, we'll see if the Eagles can exploit that. I would feel pretty comfortable that they'll have their opportunities.
On the defensive side of the ball, which is the Jets' strongest unit, they have a really strong D line. You know that it's really strong in all areas. Quinnen Williams is their defensive tackle on the interior. That's their top guy. Their former first round pick from last year's draft, Jermaine Johnson, Florida State, I believe. He was on the Eagles, shortlist there. On the end there. Those guys are, pretty strong. Will McDonald was there. I think he was a second rounder or late first or something like that. He was one of their high draft picks last year too. A little lower in the depth chart there, but I'm sure he'll be in there in rotation. So their D-line's pretty strong, and that's something to watch for in this game. I feel like the Rams didn't blitz too much, but in previous games, teams did blitz a fair amount, and the Eagles, in a combination of developing their passing game over the course of the early season, but also having too much success against the blitz, so that combination is potential for issues offensively for the Eagles. So their D-line's a unit to watch. And on the back end, Sauce Gardner had an illness. He's questionable. I feel like he's probably going to play. I feel like illnesses, people still play.
I do think it's worth pointing out. I did show you his tweet this morning, which was like a 3 face palms. So going by the Jets injury report, he practiced in full Wednesday, Thursday. He did not practice Friday. Now, I tend to agree with you about, players who are sick end up playing. This is an interesting one because it happens on the last day of practices. Mm-hmm. So depending on how sick he's feeling, I don't think he's in serious doubt of playing, but I do think that could.
He won't be 100%.
How he plays. Like, yeah, he hasn't had the full week to play with this sickness to get it out of his system. I do think that it is, it's not one that I think he's going to be completely over by the time kickoff happens.
And on the other side of that, we know from our players being sick, AJ Brown had that Takis stomach bug, and he didn't have
the Takis, you know, variant,
right? He didn't have that the great of a stat line in that game. Jalen was not 100% against Washington. He didn't have the best game. So while it doesn't result in players not playing, it does affect, or it has affected their game as well. And as far as their secondary, you know, they have Jordan Whitehead at safety. I think he's a solid player that I've heard of, which means he's good. And DJ Reed on the other side there, at corner.
And he's out for the game.
He's out.
He's and that's big news for the Eagles.
Oh, it's a concussion. Okay.
And
they have a couple other corners out as well.
Yeah, so Reed's absence is going to be felt. He opposite Sauce Gardner, that's like a very talented duo for them to be without one of those guys going up against AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. That's big news. You know, it's unfortunate for the Jets. I saw that I think he's going on like 2 weeks with this recovery from a concussion, so like you do feel, and like that is concerning. I feel like players typically return after the first week, but it's something that's lingering for Reed. And I do want to mention their linebackers are legit. CJ Mosley, he was a big money addition for the Jets a few years ago. He did miss his first season pretty much with a significant injury early on there, but he's back, he's healthy, he's contributing. And then Quincy Williams, who is the brother of Quinnen Williams, he's also turned into a very reliable linebacker. So those two can make plays. They're not like Dre Greenlaw and I'm unfortunately forgetting the best linebacker's name, but the other 49ers there, they're not
Fred Warner.
Yeah, Fred Warner. They're not like those two exactly, but like they're guys who will kind of command the middle of that field. So the Jets have defensive playmakers at every level on defense. We mentioned Quinn Williams, Jermaine Johnson, but there's also John Franklin Myers, Bryce Huff. They do have edge depth similar to the Eagles, so they can go deep. I mentioned linebackers. We know they got Sauce Gardner, no CJ or no DJ Reed, but it's a very talented defense, and I think it all starts with Quinnen Williams. He's a guy who can disrupt a game plan similar to Aaron Donald, so it'll be there's no dip in like what's happening up front coming from Donald to Williams, in my opinion.
On the Eagles injury side, Sidney Brown and Marlon Tuipulotu are both questionable. They've been limited all week. Jalen Carter injured his ankle in practice and has been ruled out. Quez Watkins' hamstring injury has come back and he is ruled out as well. Nick Sirianni yesterday said that Jalen Carter won't miss more than one game or shouldn't be out long. So that's the implication that he won't be out more than just this one game. Fletcher Cox, full participant. N'Kobe Dean, full participant. So you get some guys Darius back. You lose some guys. Darius Slay as well. Yeah, he's out with a knee issue. He didn't participate in practice all week, so that's another issue with the defense.
Also not expected to be long term. So like he and Carter, obviously those are big injury absences, but the good news is they don't like neither of those guys went on the IR. Fingers crossed they're back and healthy for next week against the Dolphins. They'll certainly need them. I do think that's part of like the calculus and holding them out so they are ready for next week. At least that's what I'm telling myself.
Especially next week, the Sunday night game against the Dolphins is the tougher game if you're going to pick.
Kelly Green game.
Kelly Green.
So Eagles lose two starters in Slay and Carter. They get two back and Cox and Dean. I don't think that's a trade anybody would make, but
it's not, but at least you get, I think the Fletcher Cox being back, you know, obviously that's better with Carter out than not having either of them, but it's a very, very good that Fletcher returns. The Eagles open as 6.5 point road favorites at the Meadowlands. Let's get into predictions. Right, actually, I go first this week.
Your turn.
My turn. Okay. With Jalen Carter's absence, let's give Jordan Davis a big day. Yeah, they're playing in the afternoon game. Big afternoon, let's say. Give him a sack and a half and a forced fumble.
Okay. Is that forced fumble on the sack?
Sure.
We'll call it a strip sack.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's he split the sack with?
Fletcher Cox.
Okay. I dig it.
Up the middle.
Of course. Jordan Davis, I mean, he's going to have a lot of responsibility trying to contain Breece Hall. Obviously, he won't have his usual partner there in Jalen Carter. So we need a big game out of him. And we saw it early in the season. He, not to say like he's kind of faded, but we just haven't seen him pop as frequently, or I guess as much as we did in the first 2 weeks. So that would be a welcome outcome for sure. All right, my first one here, this one really feels like it's easy money. So after A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert both had their respective blow-up game following games where they didn't see the ball a whole lot, last week Devontae Smith just had one catch for 6 yards. So following that pattern of slow week, maybe some perceived squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know, Devontae Smith, he had his he had a long walk with Nick Sirianni at some point last week at the game. I think that there will be a concerted effort to get Devontae Smith the ball early and often. We mentioned DJ Reed, he'll be out of the game. Now the interesting thing to point out is Sauce Gardner does not travel, or at least that's how it's been so far. Even in cases where it might make sense to, especially this week where they're going to be down their other guy and they're going to be going up against two very talented receivers in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I don't know which player gets his side of the field, him being Sauce, but I think that that makes this even more likely if Devontae Smith gets whoever is stepping up in place of Reed. So I'm going to give him 120 yards and a touchdown. Devontae Smith.
I'll just go into my second prediction because I have pretty much exactly the same thing. Devontae has a massive bounce back game. I think with the strong Jets D line and you know, linebackers probably on Goddard now that Goddard has gotten going. I think Devontae can be your, you know, 5 to 15 yard sideline type, you know, gotta have it type reliable guy. I mean, not that AJ isn't, but I can just see a lot of short slants and stuff like that. Stuff that AJ's good at as well. But all that is to say, Devontae Smith, give him 12 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. I think he'll be a death by a thousand cuts type guy down the field. If they're not going to have the explosive plays because of that Jets D line.
Yeah. Sounds like we're on the same page there. All right. So this is a fun one here. We're heading into week six. An Eagle will score their first touchdown. Now there's a lot of different options here. None of them are what I think most people would consider our likely outcomes, but I'm saying that the collective field here, maybe there's a chance. And all right, so the options include Boston Scott. He hasn't seen much action so far this year. Kenny Gainwell. He's been in the mix as kind of that second running back. If I had to pick a guy, I think it'd probably be Kenny. But the list continues. Jack Stoll. He doesn't see the ball that often, but maybe we see something deep in the red zone. Maybe he's the answer to all their red zone woes. Now, this is a fun one if you look at it the right way. Marcus Mariota. Maybe this is a blowout. I don't want to talk about the other way because that's no fun. Any eligible offensive linemen? Now
Lane Johnson.
That could be Lane. That could be Jordan.
That would be fun.
That could be Jordan as a fullback. Maybe it's a fun wrinkle to.
I feel like your final score prediction's got to be like a blowout because you have a couple of blowout predictions.
Maybe the wrinkle for this tush push is Jordan's getting the direct snap.
I just feel like all these trick plays are not done against a 2-3 team. Like you break that out against tougher opponents. That, like, why would you risk that against the bad team? Unless you're blowing them out. But continue.
And then the last option here is any defensive player. Since Darius Slay is already out, he does have a pick six so far this season. Or special teams player, who knows? Maybe Britton Covey breaks one.
All right.
So out of those options, any jump off the page for you?
I guess
who do you think is the most likely and who do you think is the most fun or entertaining?
Well, if you don't tell Boston Scott who the opponent is, he might think that it's the Giants, considering where they're playing. So that would be fun if he has a big game.
You give him a visor, but it's tinted blue. How about that?
Yeah, that's good.
It looks like the Giants.
Yeah, yes. I think Gainwell is probably the most likely, like you said. I like Covey. I think that's exciting. Like his first punt return touchdown would be further confirmation that he's improved significantly this year. I think he's shown a lot of steps in the right direction compared to last year, so that would be nice to see. So I think Covey's the exciting one. I think the lineman's pretty far-fetched, especially against the opponent. Jack Stoll would make me warm inside. I'd be happy to see Jack Stoll get one. But of course, on defense, that's certainly a possibility with Zach Wilson on the other side.
Before your last prediction here, we didn't talk about the comments that Robert Saleh made about the 11 kisses in regards.
Logistically, I don't understand how that would happen. Like all 11 guys are not in the pile for the tush push anyways. Like there's still secondary guys on the outskirts that aren't going to touch the quarterback. So I don't understand how it's 11. Unless it's or unsportsmanlike. He's a runner at that point, I guess. It wouldn't be roughing the passer. It's a run play, but it would be a late hit or something if all 11 are like if 10 hit him and the 11th is like, I got to get him. And then he comes in late. Like that's a penalty. So if anything, that's bad coaching. It's bad discipline.
Do you think it's, do Do you think it's just like, what? I guess, like, do you think it's meaningful? Is like this coming on, I actually forget which transpired first, but like on the heels of the Attaboy Harper, this kind of feels like it could be, well, I don't think it's far-fetched to say that that this hasn't already reached the locker room. Fletcher Cox put it in an answer regarding Breece Hall, their running back, how they're going to stop him. They need to give him 11 kisses too. But do you think there's like any meaningful, like, is this like really motivation, or is this kind of like pre-game banter? Like, is this more friendly, or do you think there's something more pointed going on here?
I think if it's a blowout, blowing kisses would be a really fun celebration, whether it's a touchdown or a sack.
Yeah, that would be a great sack celebration for the Eagles.
Yeah, I think that's probably as far as it goes. Like, they're not rivals. Obviously, there's the 12-0.
There was that late hit in the preseason.
Right, but didn't they play last year? No, they didn't. They didn't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They played.
So that was from Quincy Williams, their linebacker, and that was a late hit in the preseason. Nick Sirianni did get really fired up and was cursing at Robert Sala. So all of the characters are still here.
Robert
Sala makes those comments. I'm not saying it's like true beef. I do think there's potential for sparks, though. What do you think?
I agree that all the pieces are there. I think the Eagles, you know, the Mad Men meme where
I don't think about you at all. Is that what
yeah.
you mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's a
I think the Eagles are far and away, like, have had so much more success over the last season and so far this year, that it's not like the kisses thing is the closest to beef right now. That's kind of,
I do think, like,
but if there is a hit, if there is a hit on Hurts, I think that's enough to reignite that preseason situation. But I don't think the Eagles are going into the game with like, oh, you did this last preseason after we went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like a preseason now, beef.
Do you think, I also think, like, Robert Saleh, like, I could imagine, like, the week leading up to this game, like, the Eagles are one of two undefeated teams where, like, a scrapping team that's, you know, we have playoff aspirations. The circumstances haven't been ideal. We lost our big quarterback. We have been feisty the past 2 weeks, losing to the Chiefs, beating the Broncos. Now, like, I do think there's something about, like, amping up your team of, like, everybody's, like, this is a strong, like, we're the underdog, and we got to go out there and, like, get our own. I do think there's something at play that Saleh could leverage to make this feel like it is a really big game for the Jets. And obviously it's a big game, but I mean, like, even more so, like, reputationally, and, like, trying to knock off, like, the guy at the top of the hill. I do think there's something there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and
your third prediction.
Just the one more point. Upcoming, they have the Giants, Chargers, Raiders, Bills, and Dolphins through Thanksgiving. So, you know, they have a few winnable games coming up. They might see, you know, a path to getting a few wins and getting themselves back to 500, if not better. So,
yeah, this could be like their, like, gravy game.
Yeah,
with house
money. They could go on a run. Anyway, to your point on someone on the defense, I have Zach Wilson throwing two interceptions, and I guess a fumble as well, considering my other.
Okay.
So that's three turnovers. I think it'll be a turnover game. the Eagles haven't had a big turnover game the last two games as far as in their favor. So give me Bradberry for one and Blankenship.
Okay.
Let's go with old reliables. No Ricks, no Goodrich, no Job. The old reliables with the interceptions. I think if the Jets defense comes out strong and the Eagles offense struggles a bit, it's kind of tight. I think that the difference will be the turnovers on the Jets offense.
Okay, and real quick on the cornerbacks, obviously is out. Bradberry, do you think he travels and covers Wilson, or do you think they don't do that
for this? I think they'll probably switch off because Wilson can play in the slot too. I feel like they'll want to keep Bradberry on the outside because he's better at that. So I think the assignment will probably be dependent on Garrett Wilson lining up probably to start, but they'll obviously have to make that adjustment if it's a Cooper Kupp situation.
Gotcha. And we expect Job to replace Slay. Roby, obviously, I think him getting on the roster in his second half, I would be very surprised if he wasn't the starting nickel and it was his and his alone, unless something was to happen as far as his health goes. But who do you think is starting opposite Reed Blankenship with Justin Evans going on IR and Sidney Brown questionable?
Yeah, probably Edmonds.
Limited.
Probably Edmonds.
Yeah. And how you feel about that? You think that
not great?
Yeah. It's
he's bad.
Right.
He's not good.
There has been some chatter about the Panthers, who are now 0-5. Forget who they're going up against this week, but obviously, I don't think there's many teams that wouldn't be favored against them right now. Jeremy Chinn, he was a player that the Eagles were strongly considering if they didn't take Jalen Hurts. He's on the last year of his rookie deal. Apparently, he's available. So that's a guy you definitely want to keep an eye on. I think he would certainly give the Eagles a lot of flexibility and their depth where they need it on defense. He would be a guy who could play in the box as that strong safety. He also could play slot corner on bigger guys like tight ends. So I think he makes a lot of sense for the Eagles if they can come to agreement on compensation as far as what they would have to trade. But given this conversation about Evans is on IR, I think that presses the issue even stronger heading into the trade deadline, which comes up I think sometime in the next few weeks. So I would like to see a better solution than Terrell Edmonds. No offense to him, he hasn't been the most dependable guy back there, so just something to keep an eye on with the weeks ahead. But my third one here, Breece Hall, he's averaging 77 yards per game rushing. His over under rush total for tomorrow is 54.5. My prediction here is even without Jalen Carter in the middle, the Eagles run defense holds him under 54. So
wow, I think that's bold.
The Eagles run defense has given me a lot of confidence. I do think Breece Hall is a talented running back, but I do think that Zach Wilson, I don't know if they're going to put too much attention to what's happening downfield. So I do think that they'll probably put more guys in the box than they would otherwise if this was Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And obviously that would be a big key to winning is keeping Breece Hall in check. So I think the Eagles can pull it off even without Carter. It's nice to have Fletcher Cox back. I expect Milton Williams to have a hand in that. Moro Ojemo, did you see him at all? Did he really?
He had four snaps and I did not notice him at all.
Okay, well, maybe he has some sort of impact. Marlon Tuipulotu, he's questionable. He is kind of like that nose tackle guy, so I think they'll have enough horses to get the job done.
Moving on here, player of the game, not surprising. I alluded to it in one of my predictions, Devontae Smith. I just think it's a bounce back game for him, and they've made an effort to get the guy his share of the offense a week after they've got nothing. So Devontae Smith.
Yeah, sounds about right. I'm going to go with a guy that I don't think either of us have given him the nod so far this season, but he had a big hand in last week's win, and that's Jason Kelce. I think keeping this defensive line at bay, orchestrating the offensive line, keeping Jalen safe, that'll be a big emphasis this week, considering the talented Jets defense and what they have up front. So yeah, I think Jason Kelce, especially with Sua Peta, the guy to his right who's still filling in for Juergens, I think he'll have a lot on his plate. And if he can pull off what he did last week, keeping Aaron Donald in check, that that'll give Jalen time to find his playmakers and get the points they need to keep the Jets behind them.
Yeah, and as far as final score, I think it'll be similar to last week, an Eagles win, a professional win, still with questions about the passing game, you know, the offense as a whole, how dominating will they get back to. But give me Eagles covering with a win of 24-14.
Okay. No surprise here. I feel like we can't start predicting the losses now, given the schedule. But yeah, the Eagles are 6.5 point favorites on the road. I don't know if that line has changed much. Like, I guess I don't think it would have, given the Jalen Carter out, Darius Slay out. But yes, I too have the Eagles winning. I too have them covering by a score of Eagles 27, Jets 20. And the Eagles advance to 6-0, take their undefeated record to Sunday Night Football against the Miami Dolphins at the Link in their Kelly Green jerseys.
Exciting.
Very.
Yeah, I just think they're the better team. The Jets have a top unit, but I think the Eagles overall are a winning football team, and all Jalen Hurts does is win. And, you know, not necessarily flashy, but I mean, we Jalen have them in the mid-20s.
What's the Jalen Hurts is... It's something wild. It's like 22-1
in his last 23
starts,
regular season games.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Playoffs aside, regular season. Yep. I mean,
it was the Washington game. That was it.
Right. The Heineke game. Do you want to go on the record with your Phillies prediction, or do you feel like that is bad juju?
I think let's not.
Okay.
But I am confident they are the favored team. They have home field. They should be favored. They just beat the best team in baseball during the regular season. And we have every reason to be confident in them this series. So,
now, do you have a team you're rooting for on the other side of the bracket?
I think it's a win-win, because if it's... it's a win-win if the Phillies advance, because
of course
it's either a rematch and a chance
advantage
with they have the same record, but head to head the Phillies
series.
So they either get revenge and overcome their, you know, demons, or they beat a bunch of you know, Cowboys fans. So I think it's a win-win. Now, it would be a big loss if they, I mean, it's a big loss anyway if they lose in the CS or the World Series. So it's a high risk, high reward.
Right. But I'm also feeling good. The Phillies, tell me one on this. Which team do you feel like you have a more vested emotional attachment with?
Yeah, I feel like that. I think on camera and what we get as fans, the Phillies look like they have more fun and enjoy playing to the eye much more than the Eagles. And we've seen a lot of frustration from the Eagles this season on the sideline and, you know, in the locker room, and they're kicking too many field goals, all that kind of stuff. So I think the Eagles are like the more serious,
like the just business.
All business team. Mm-hmm. And the Phillies are like on a mission, but a bunch of like goofball type lovable.
Yeah. And I don't even know if that's people. Like a fair comparison given how many.
It's games. Right now. I think it's recency, but. Yeah,
but I also think there's an argument for like there's 162 regular season games. Like,
yeah,
you see these guys like every night. So I think that definitely plays into it.
Yeah,
but I tend to agree. I do think that, and this isn't like a shot at the Eagles. Obviously, the Eagles are a great team with a lot of fantastic personalities. And like you can tell there's plenty of like love between the players, and their chemistry is great, and their coach and the dynamics are very good. However, yeah. The Phillies, I mean, that team is just, I don't think you can watch them and not like fall in love with them as a team, as a group of players and guys fighting for each other. I mean, I do think what they have is like special, and there is like this kind of, like they have a magic quality. Like there's some sort of like charisma and, not saying that the Eagles don't have that, but I don't think they have it as strong as the Phillies. But I said that's all to say that like maybe it's just unfair considering how much we see them.
Yeah, and they're in different parts of the season. Like I think like Dallas weeks, the playoffs last year, like I think the Eagles showed a lot of charisma and fun and that kind of thing. So I think there's a lot of there's expectations for both teams, but obviously the Phillies had more room for error there. And the leaders of each team are a lot different. Like Bryce is very, whether it's pandering or, you know, whatever you want to say, like he's very, he's a little more charismatic, I think, in relationship with the city and the fans. I think
he's just like Jason Kelsey. You don't think that those are like one-to-ones?
Yeah, I guess they're one-to-one. I'm thinking Bryce versus Jalen. Like Jalen is more stoic. I think he's very motivating, but he's not like entertaining. Jalen's more inspiring, and Bryce is more like run through a wall. Yeah. I mean, there are clips of Jalen in the huddle before games that are run through a wall, but I think they're just different. They're different, and you know,
I think you can make an argument like these are obviously two very different players as far as like their importance, and you can't make like there's no quarterback on a baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, at least to me, the closest one-to-one as far as personality and like how they carry themselves is like Jalen Hurts to Nick Castellanos. And like Nick Castellanos definitely has like the goofball like Scooby-Doo stuff, but he is like very reflective and also like cerebral, and kind of just like he is willing to just like cut through the BS of like some sort of like media like question. And I think that's similar to Jalen Hurts.
In process, yeah. But in function, I think Castellanos is a bit out there compared to Jalen. But
yeah, again, I'm not
like
saying
Nick
that
doesn't
like
have
twins.
Coach speak. Nick has Nick speak. But yeah, I all in all, very exciting for the Phillies and the Eagles as well. But yeah, so we'll be back after the Jets game. Hopefully, I guess the CS game three is Thursday, so we'll figure out when we can record next. It might be another weird, you know, week, but that's what the early first half of the NFL season is for, MLB playoffs. So we'll be back when we're back. And for now, for Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.